Chapter 3, The Covenant in Africa. One illustration of Stanley's might help us to grasp the significance. When Stanley was seeking Livingston, he came in contact with a powerful equatorial tribe. They were very warlike. Stanley was not in condition to fight them. Finally, his interpreter asked him why he didn't make a strong covenant with them. He asked what it meant, and was told that it meant drinking each other's blood. Stanley revolted from such a right, but conditions kept growing worse, until finally the young colored man asked him again why he did not cut the covenant with the chieftain of the tribe. Stanley asked what the results of such a covenant would be, and the interpreter answered, "Everything the chieftain has will be yours if you need it." This appealed to Stanley, and he investigated. After several days of negotiation, they arrived at the covenant. First, there was a parley in which the chieftain questioned Stanley as to his motives and standing, and his ability to keep the covenant. The next step was an exchange of gifts. The old chieftain wanted Stanley's new white goat. Stanley was in poor health, and goat's milk was about all he could take for nourishment, so it was very hard for him to give this up. But the chieftain seemed to want nothing else. So he finally gave up the goat, and the old chieftain handed him his 7-foot copper-wound spear. Stanley thought he had been beaten, but he found that wherever he went in Africa with that spear, everybody bowed to him and submitted to him. The old chieftain then brought in one of his princes. Stanley led forth one of his men from England. Then the priest came forward with a cup of wine, made an incision in the young black's wrist, and let the blood drip into the cup of wine. He cut a like incision in the wrist of the young Englishman, and let his blood also drip into the cup of wine. Then the wine was stirred, and the bloods were mixed. The priest handed the cup to the Englishman, and he drank part of it, and then handed it to the black, and he drank the rest of it. Next, they rubbed their wrists together so that their bloods mingled. Now they had become blood brothers. These two men were only substitutes, but they had bound Stanley and the chieftain and Stanley's men and the chieftain's soldiers into a blood brotherhood that was indissoluble. The gunpowder was rubbed into the wound so that when it healed, there would be a black mark to indicate that they were covenant men. The next step in the ceremony was the planting of trees. Trees that were known for their long life. After the planting of the trees, then the chieftain stepped forward and shouted, "Come buy and sell with Stanley, for he is our blood brother." A few hours before, Stanley's men had to stand on guard about their bales of cotton cloth and trinkets, but now he could open the bales and leave them on the street and nothing was disturbed. For anyone to steal from their blood brother, Stanley was a death penalty. The old chieftain couldn't do enough for his newfound brother. Stanley couldn't understand the sacredness of it, and years later wondered about it. Curses and blessings. I have left out a very important feature of the ceremony. As soon as the two young men had drunk each other's blood, a priest stepped out and pronounced the most awful curses that Stanley had ever heard, curses that were to come upon him if he broke the covenant. Then Stanley's interpreter took his part and pronounced curses upon the old king, his wife, his children, and his tribe. If they broke the covenant with Stanley, you remember, when Moses apportioned the land to the different tribes, he called their attention to the mountain of cursing and the mountain of blessing. In Deuteronomy 11th and 27th chapters, you find the curses of the Old Covenant and the blessings of the Covenant. The curses were pronounced from the Mount of Cursing each year, and the blessings were pronounced from the Mount of Blessing each year. The memorial. The ceremony of tree planting was always done if they were in a country where trees grow. These are called memorial trees, trees of the Covenant. In a place where trees do not grow, they set up a pile of stones or erect a monument as a memorial to remind them and their descendants that they are partners in an indissoluble covenant. You remember Abraham gave to Elimelech some ewe lambs, and the lambs were for a memorial. As the lambs grew and the flocks grew, that flock would be a continual reminder of the covenant that had been cut. The moment a covenant is solemnized, everything that a blood covenant man owns in the world is at the disposal of his blood brother, if he needs it, and yet this brother would never ask for anything unless he were absolutely driven by want to do it. Some of the most beautiful stories I know in the world are the stories of blood covenant brothers. Another feature of this is that as soon as they cut the covenant, they are recognized as blood brothers by others, and they are called the blood brothers.